All right, John, chapter number 8. We began a series a couple weeks ago looking at the I am statements of Jesus Christ. Now, these statements, of course, were given during his time on earth, but they were meant for more than just to teach us a few things about him. They were meant to show us how Jesus is real and active today. He didn't say, I was the light of life, I was the water, I was the vine. He said, I am. A lot of times we, especially in modern day Christianity, we kind of regulate Jesus to the past. He's a good teacher and his principles are good and strong and we should obey them and listen to them. But he really doesn't affect how we live today. And that's a mistake that the people in Jesus' day made. It's also a mistake that we make today. So we're going to pray and then we'll get to our message this morning. I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you, God, for Lord, just the opportunity to study your word, to come together, to fellowship with you, Lord, to look in your scriptures this morning, and Lord, take these truths that were given so many years ago, but apply them to our lives today. Lord, I pray that your spirit would have complete control. I pray, Lord, that you would move through each and every chair. I pray that you would touch each and every heart. I pray that you would do a work in every life. God, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said, what should be said. And Lord, help me not to say what I should not say, but God, help everything that's said and done bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter number 8, looking at verse number 12. Now, I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture for you. And so you may want to jot them down and look at them again later, because I'm not going to be turning there because it's a whole lot of scripture I want to read right off the bat. But John chapter number 8, verse number 12, Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Then look over in John chapter number 9, starting in verse number 4. It says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 2, the Bible says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God said, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." Now, this isn't the sun and the moon. This isn't day and night. God has not created the sun yet. The sun's a couple days later, but God has created light, and he's divided light from darkness. He has made a distinction between the light and the dark. So then God called the light day, and the darkness called he night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In John chapter 1, verse 4, says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." In John chapter 3, verse 19, says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Then John 12, verse 35 says, "Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Light is important to us. We all enjoy light. Some of the darkest places on earth are caverns deep underneath the earth's surface. Anyone ever taken a tour of a cavern like Luray Caverns or Dixie Caverns around here? If you take a tour of these caverns, they'll take you deep down in the earth, and of course they have light set up there. But when they get you to the deepest part of it, what the tour guides will typically do is they'll get everyone around or to circle around the wall. They'll tell everyone to turn off their phones or turn off any other devices, and then they'll turn off the lights. And it's dark. It's darker than you've ever seen before. It's so dark that you literally can't even see your hand in front of your face. Even if it's noon on a sunny day, the darkness is so complete, you can't see anything. You can almost feel the darkness. God speaks of this type of darkness in Exodus chapter 10 when he curses Egypt with a darkness that he says, a darkness which may be felt. Now we use today in our society, we use light and dark as metaphors. Light symbolizes what is good. Darkness symbolizes what is bad. If you have no idea what's going on, you're in the dark. If you understand what's happening, then you've been enlightened. In Scripture, light speaks of God. The Bible says in 1 John that God is light. And darkness always speaks of sin and Satan. In John chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The Bible says that sinners perform deeds of darkness, while God's children, God's people, should live as children of light. Jesus called hell outer darkness. The Bible says that unbelievers will be left in darkness, while believers, those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, are called out of darkness and in to the light. When John the Baptist appeared on the scene and he was announcing the coming Messiah, he said that he came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Many people, they believed John. They had their eyes opened to the spiritual truth, but the religious leaders of the day, they remained in spiritual darkness. The most dangerous darkness that we deal with, the most dangerous darkness that we have to handle, is the spiritual darkness that blinds the minds and controls the hearts of men and of the lost. The Bible says that Jesus came to eliminate spiritual darkness. And to do that, he had to endure the darkness and the suffering of the cross. So we are commanded by God, who is the light, who the light has come into the world, to live as children of light and to understand those truths. Now that command is not given for the apostles back in the day, or the disciples that walk with Jesus. It's given for us today. Today, currently, we are commanded to walk as children of light. And to do that, we must understand and apply the truths of the light to help us today. So let's look at three aspects of Jesus' statement found in John chapter 8, where he says he is the light. And let's look at these statements of Jesus. First thing we need to notice the setting of the statement. The setting of the statement. Now the context of John chapters 7 through 9 is the annual celebration called the Festival of Tabernacles. Now the Festival of Tabernacles, it was a time of thanksgiving for the Jewish people. They would celebrate the harvest time and they would thank God for what he had given them during the harvest. But it was also more than just a celebration of the harvest. It was a time to celebrate and remember how God had provided for, how God had done a great work in the lives of the children of Israel as they wandered through the desert. They remembered that, yes, God gave us a good harvest this year, but for 40 years, as our forefathers wandered through the desert, God gave them food every single day. God gave them water every single day. God provided for them and God protected them. So it was a thanksgiving, but it was also a time of remembrance. Now during this time, Jerusalem would be filled with visitors. There would be daily celebrations and they would march around the city and they'd have torches to symbolize the light of God and how God was a pillar of fire by night. And they'd walk around the wall actually kind of remembering how God had delivered Joshua and the city of Jericho. And they just spent a time celebrating and feasting. It was a wonderful time. Early every morning during that week, the priests would carry a pitcher of water or tubs of water from the pool of Siloam. And they would pour the water out in the temple court. Now, this was a reminder about how God had provided water for their ancestors during the wandering in the wilderness. How every time they needed water, they could just go to the rock that God had provided. And this rock would follow them and give water to them. And when they were thirsty, they could get water. When they needed to water their animals, they could just go there. And no matter what situation they were in, no matter how dry it was, no matter what the drought conditions were, every time they needed water, God provided it for them. So they poured this water out in the temple court to remind people how God had provided water for their ancestors. On the last day of the festival, as they poured out the water, Jesus spoke a truth to those who were seeking spiritual truth. So look over in John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, in the last day, talking about the last day of the festival, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now this is after they've poured out the water. So he's just witnessed the pouring out of the water in the temple. And Jesus speaks and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus was telling them, look, I know what you're doing here is you're remembering how God provided for your ancestors. I know what you're doing is you're remembering how whenever Moses or the children of Israel, whenever they were thirsty in the desert, God provided for them. But hey, if you're thirsty spiritually, you don't need this water or even the water from the rock. What you need is to come to me and I will quench your thirst. I will give you all that you need. At night during this week, the priests would light four large candelabras in the court of the women. Now the glow from these candelabras could be seen across the entire city. Now this was, of course, a reminder about how God was evidenced to the children of Israel as a pillar of fire as he led Israel through the darkness of the wilderness. And then again in chapter number 8, verse number 12, if you have a study Bible, it says that this happens after the feast. So the feast has ended. The priests have just extinguished the lights for the last day. And in chapter number 8, after the lights go out and the city goes dark, Jesus cries out and says, I am the light of life. He says, look, you were getting light from these candles. You were symbolizing how God was with your fathers and with your forefathers in the wilderness. But hey, I am with you now and I am God present today and I am with you and you don't need this physical light. I am the light that all men seek. That's the setting that Jesus is speaking these words to these people. That's what's happening while Jesus speaks. But let's look at not only the setting of the words, let's look at the meaning of the words. What did Jesus mean when he cried out, I'm the light of life? Now, the Festival of Tabernacles was commanded by God for Israel to obey. This was something that God had commanded them to do every single year. It was like the Passover. It was an annual tradition that, you know, a lot of times like with our Thanksgiving, it's an annual tradition that we have, and it's something we do. We get together with friends or family, and we set aside some time. Kids are out of school, you know, college football's on, praise the Lord. And so it's the most wonderful time of the year, amen? And so you get together, you eat way too much, you watch a lot of football. If you're a UVA fan like me, you get disappointed, but still you got turkey, so hey, who cares? So you end up banana pudding. But, you know, we have our Thanksgiving festival, and it's something we do every year. You know, it's always the same, the third Thursday of every year. What are we doing? Or a third Thursday of every November every year, what are we doing? We're celebrating Thanksgiving. It's something that we do. Now, it's not a religious command. It's just something we do as a tradition to hopefully remember how good we have it here in America. Because, look, we have it good. You know, we have the ability to put food on our table for one day that would feed most people in most other countries for a year. It's more than they ever get, but we feast on it, and so it's a time for us to say, hey, we want to be thankful for what God has done. But it's not a religious command. It's just a tradition of man. The Feast of Tabernacles, it was a tradition. It was something they did to come together and remember, but it was commanded by God. This wasn't something they could skip. They couldn't say, well, I got to work during the Feast of Tabernacles, or, you know, it wasn't, after the Feast of Tabernacles, it wasn't Black Friday where they got to go shopping for Christmas, amen. You know, this is commanded by God because God understood Israel. God understands us. And he understood, hey, if I don't make them take some time and remember how good I've been to them, they're going to forget. And, you know, we look at the nation of Israel and they did forget a lot. They would often forget how good God was to them, but if we're honest, we do too. We forget the goodness of God. So that's the what's happening. But what did Jesus mean when he said this? So the Feast of Tabernacles, it was commanded by God for them to observe it. So for the Jews and the Israelites to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, it was good, it was right, it was obeying God's law. Their mistake was that in all their ceremonies, in all their remembrances, they ignored the Son of God. Jesus had to stand up and shout to get their attention. Divine truth had been replaced by man-made traditions. God never commanded the priests to light the candelabras. That was added later for their traditions. God never commanded them to pour out the water in the court of the temple to remember what he had done. That was something that they had chosen. Now, there was nothing wicked in it, because again, the tradition was meant to remind them of God's goodness. So there was nothing wicked in either of what they were doing. However, they were more concerned with following the traditions of man than experiencing the true changed life that Jesus offers. When man's traditions replace the Word of God, we are not living in the light. We're dwelling in darkness. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they practiced and they protected their legalistic traditions. And they criticized Jesus for neglecting them. Now, it's easy for us today in 2017 to criticize the Pharisees. We can see they're wrong. We can see where they messed up. So we can criticize them, but we have the same problem today. We focus on traditions. We focus on principles. We focus on things we're used to doing, and we ignore the light of God. As the priest extinguished the candelabra, Jesus calls out, "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Warren Wiersbe said this about this passage. He said he didn't condemn their tradition. He simply asked them to allow that tradition to point to him. They had light in their temple, but spiritual darkness in their minds and hearts. In spite of their joyful religious festivities, the priest and the people were dead in their sins, and the festival itself could never give them life. Jesus offered them life, eternal life, if only they would trust him and follow him. Jesus wanted them to have more than just a blessing of a week-long celebration and remembering how good he had been. He wanted them to have the lasting blessing that they could have in the present that only he could provide for them. They were not looking, they were spending so much time looking back at what God had done that they were not focusing or willing to look at what God could do for them now. Jesus knew the spiritual condition of the people, especially the condition of the religious leaders. They didn't know who Jesus was, and they weren't willing to investigate to find out if he was who he claimed to be. They didn't love Jesus. They didn't understand Jesus. They didn't believe Jesus. They didn't honor Jesus, and that means they really didn't even know the Father. Instead of listening to Jesus, they argued with him and rejected him. Look again in verse number 12, chapter 8. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore saith unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." The lights go out. The city gets dark. Jesus calls out and says, "Hey, I'm the light of life. You're looking for light in all these traditions and all these practices and all these festivities, and it's never going to give you what you need. I am the light of life." And the Pharisees stand up and say, "You're a liar." That's bold. Amen? It's pretty bold to stand up and look God in the flesh and say, "Hey, you're lying. You say you're something, but you're not." But they did that because they didn't understand him, and they didn't want to. They weren't seeking the light. They were content to dwell in darkness as long as they felt like they were right. The darkness of unbelief, the darkness of ungodliness was overcoming them. Now, in our physical world, the sun is the light of the world. But Jesus, in the spiritual world, Jesus is the spiritual light of the world. Everything in our galaxy, it depends on the sun. Without the sun, there would be darkness and death. I actually was studying this week, and I looked up scientifically what would happen if the sun just went out. Not like a long, slow process where it expands and dies like stars do. If the sun just, all of a sudden, God just turned out the sun, what would happen? Well, within about a day, we'd all be dead. Within a year, the ocean would be frozen solid up to 20 feet deep. Now, the ice would keep the deep parts of the ocean from freezing, so most life in the ocean, the deep parts, they would survive for 10,000 years before the ocean became a solid piece of ice and everything died. But we wouldn't be here very long. The temperature would drop 100 degrees in a day. We need the sun. Amen? We, Mr. Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, we need you to keep shining down on us. We need the sun to survive. If the sun were to go out, the death and destruction would rule the earth. Everything in our galaxy depends on it. Without it, there'd be darkness and death. Jesus is the light of the world. Without him, there's darkness and death. The sun is the center of the Earth's solar system, and our planet orbits around it. Jesus wants to be the center of all things that relate to the Father and his church, and we must keep him at the center. Paul tells us in Colossians 1, says that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus is to be the center of our everything. First and foremost in our lives. We cannot regulate him to any place but first in our life. If the sun were to go out, life on earth would cease. Jesus is the light of life. If we don't have him, we don't have life. The Jewish leaders, they would light candles, but those candles didn't change anything. Didn't change anyone. We need the light of life to change us, to give us life this morning. Jesus, when he came to earth, he came to open the eyes of the blind. He came to free the captives from prison. He came to bring light to those in darkness. And that's what he did in John chapter 9, and that's what he is still doing today. So the meaning of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, was to show not just the Jewish religious leaders, not just the people who were gathered there for the Festival of Tabernacles, but to show us today, we need him more than we need anything else. We don't need our religious traditions. We need Christ. We don't need all the things we put our focus on. We need Jesus. So what is the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us this morning? James Hudson Taylor, of course we all know Hudson Taylor, the missionary who started the China Inland Mission. But Hudson Taylor, he was exhausted and discouraged when he went to England and went to Brighton, England in 1865. He hoped to find some rest and some spiritual enrichment. On Sunday, June 25th, 1865, he accompanied his friends to church. In his biography, Taylor said that he was unable to bear the sight of rejoicing multitudes in the house of God. He was burdened for the people of China, and he left the meeting. He walked down to the seashore with a heavy heart. He didn't see how so many believers could be joyful and do so little to share the gospel with the lost, especially the lost in China. So on that Sunday morning, Hudson Taylor, he resolved that with God's help, he would begin a mission to reach the lost of inland China. 2 days later, he went down to the London County Bank, and with a 10-pound note, he opened an account in the name of the Inland China Mission. That little piece of Christian history, it reminds me of what Jesus did at the end of chapter number 8. It was the last day of the week-long festival. The people were celebrating at the temple. The religious leaders, they had spent their time rejecting the Messiah and that were standing among them. And they were actually at the end of chapter number 8, they were on the verge of stoning him. And Jesus, the light of life, he left the temple. He left talking with the religious leaders. He left talking with the crowd. He left the temple and he gave sight to a blind beggar, bringing not only light to his eyes, but giving him the light of life. Jesus was visibly, physically walking through the streets of Jerusalem during this day. He was bringing the light of life to those who lived in spiritual darkness. Today, Jesus is alive. And Jesus is still walking through our city. But instead of Jesus physically walking through our city, he sent us, his children, his ambassadors, to go and share that light with the lost world. He has commanded us to represent him and to spread that light. You know, there are millions of people in the world today professing to be Christians. And if every one of them are Christians, actually read a study, there are over 8 billion people in the world. 2 billion claim to be Christians. Now, we're not going to argue about which are true Christians and which are false Christians and all that. I know the Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be Christians and all that, and I know they're wrong. I grew up in that cult. I understand that. So we're not going to parse it and say, well, probably there's actually only 1 billion. Doesn't matter. Even if there are 1 billion true born-again believers in the world today, as light bearers, the world should be getting better and better. The light should be shining brighter and brighter. But it seems like the world's getting darker. Jesus says if we follow him, we'll not walk in darkness, but we'll walk in his light, and he will give us the light of life. But more than that, we will be light in this dark world to help others find the true light. Look what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5. It says, ye are the light of the world. He just said he's the light of the world. Several verses we other read, he goes, hey, as long as the light is here, you can walk in light, but soon the light's going to leave and then there'll be darkness. But then he says in Matthew, hey, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's us. Before salvation, we were darkness. But now, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you're saved today, the light of life dwells inside of you. We're not to take the light that God has given us and hide it. He didn't give it to us so we could illuminate our life only and say, man, I've got this light. Let me hide it so no one else can see it. Let me black out the curtains of my life so the light only helps me and only affects me and only I get to enjoy it. No, Jesus says, look, you are the light. If you're saved today, Jesus lives inside of you and you are the light of life, and your job as a light bearer for Christ is to shine his glorious light into a dark world so others can see that light and find their way into the truth as well. Jesus spread the light by going to ones in darkness, by going to the ones who were seeking the light. As children of light, our mission is to take the light into darkness. How do we do that? We do that by walking in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. David said in the Psalms, he says, for with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. We don't receive light from history. We don't receive it from science or anything else. We only receive light from God. And we walk in light with him. The Bible says God's word is light. God's spirit is light. If we yield to the spirit and live in the word, then we can shine God's glorious light to a dark and dying world. There's a lot of artificial light in our world. A lot of electric lights. I mean, in this sanctuary alone, there's a lot of lights. Amen? We're trying to figure out how much it's going to cost to transform them all to LED. Save energy, save cost, but man, it's pricey. Why? Because there's a lot of lights. You start trying to change all the lights in this building. Man, we need a mortgage for all that. It's just, there's a lot of light in the world. And since there's so many sources of light, we can oftentimes forget about the spiritual darkness in our world. There are people as in Jesus' day, who think they have the light, but they're walking in darkness. As God's children, we've been given the gift of the light of life, and we are commanded to spread that light to a lost and dying world. Like Jesus, we have people who think they have the light, but they don't. Like Jesus, there are those who resist the true light. We are to take the light to those who need it. So this morning, as we close, I simply ask two questions. Number one, do you have the light? Number two, if you do, are you shining it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,